राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे
हरे राम राम हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण
वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय शुश्रूषोश्शब्दधानस्य वासुदेवकतारुचिः श्यान्महत्सेवया विप्राः पुण्यतीर्थनिषेवनात्. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. Shrinvatam svakata krishnah punya shravana kirtanah hridayantasto hyabhadrani vidunoti suhritsatam. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Tada rajastamo bhavah kamalobadayascha ye cheta etair anaviddam sitam satve prasidati. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. Thus, established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Vidyate hridaya grantesh chidyante sarva samshayah kshiyante chasya karmani drishta evatmanishvare. Thus, the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Gopa Gopida Shama Kunda Radha Kudda Gidi Govardhan Ki Jai Srivandavan Dham Ki Jai Navadip Dham Ki Jai Gang Shimona Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Go Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vishmadayaka Shabrasna Bhutade Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Sarasvata Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pachatri Shatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Richananda Sri Advaita Gadata Shivasri Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 11 Chapter 3 Verse 8. Datu paplava asane vyaktam dravya gunatmakam anani nidana kalo hyavaktaya pakarshati. Dhatu of the material elements, upaplave, dissolution, asane, when it has become imminent, vyaktam, manifest cosmos, dravya, gross objects, guna, subtle modes, atmakam, consisting of, anadi, without beginning, nidana, or end, kala, time, ki, indeed, avyaktaya, into the unmanifest, apakarshati, draws. Translation, when the annihilation of the material elements is imminent, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his form of eternal time, withdraws the manifest cosmos, consisting of gross and subtle features, and the entire universe vanishes into non-manifestation. Purport in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila Dev teaches that the material nature originally exists in an inert state of equilibrium called pradana. When Lord Vishnu casts his potent glance in the form of kala or time, material interactions take place, culminating in the variegated creation of the material cosmos. In this verse, it is stated that at the end of universal time, the same kala that originally incited the female nature into manifestation again withdraws the cosmos into its original state of inert non-manifestation. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the time potency itself, kala, is then withdrawn and it merges into the Supreme Soul, who manifests himself as the original cause of material nature. Such technical arrangements for creation and annihilation, birth and death, do not exist in the eternal spiritual kingdom of God. In the spiritual sky, the variegated spiritual enjoyment of the Lord and his devotees is not hampered by the inferior cycles of birth, maintenance, and destruction found in the material world. Translation: when the annihilation of the material elements is imminent, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his form of eternal time, withdraws the manifest cosmos consisting of the gross and subtle features, and the entire universe vanishes into non-manifestation. So here's a further description of the material world. The world is created by the will of the Lord, and here again it is destroyed. So we have Maya described in terms of its negative quality of being destructible. This is in contrast to the spiritual world, which never is created and never is destroyed. Of course, we can qualify this and say that Prakriti itself is eternal. But the manifestation of the universe from Prakriti is not eternal. Of course, in the spiritual sky itself is eternal. And of course, the Shaktis which manifest the spiritual world are also eternal. But here, Prakriti may be eternal, but the manifestation of the world or the universe is temporary. It has a beginning and an end, even though Prakriti is eternal. So another name for Prakriti is Pradhan. So Maya, Prakriti, Pradhan are synonyms. They mean the same thing. That is this material energy. So we often talk about Maya or Prakriti, but generally we refer to it in terms of its manifestation of the material world rather than its inert state. But technically they are different. Prakriti is the inert state, and there is no action, there is nothing visible, there's nothing taking place at all. There's no forms, nothing is there. By the will of the Lord, he glances and time operates to manifest agitation of Prakriti so that Sattva-gun becomes prominent and Mahatattva manifests. Simultaneously, the jivas enter into that Prakriti. So that's called Mahatattva. It's a state of Sattva-gun in the material world. Once that agitation has taken place, then there's a more or less, we can say, a chain reaction. The Lord, after that point, really doesn't have to do too much. Just like we start a chemical reaction, and you put a chemical into another chemical, starts acting, and it goes on by itself to do various things. So here, the Lord glances, and then Mahatattva manifests, and then once the gunas are agitated, they start transforming. So Sattva-gun turns into Rajagun, and then it turns into Tamagun. And these three states are distinct. So we have Mahatattva as the sattvic aspect, something called Sutra as the rajasic aspect, and then Ahankara as the tamasic aspect. All very subtle. And then the Ahankara itself divides into Sattva, Rajas, Tamas. And from the Sattva portion of Ahankara we get mind. And we get the devatas of the senses, not the bodies actually, but the subtle forms or whatever. And from the Rajagun we get a buddhi and the senses. We get the action sense, five action senses, and the five knowledge senses. And the devatas are related to each of these senses. So we have 10 devatas plus the mind, and then we have 10 senses to go along with that. So we have a deity for each sense. And then from the tamagun aspect of Ahankara, we get the tanmatras, like sound, etc. And then we get the element, akash or ether. And we get touch and air element and form and fire element and taste and water element and smell and earth element. And there we have all the ingredients, material ingredients manifested, which form universes and bodies for the living entities. all this goes on because stimulation of time, the glance of the Supreme Lord, and entry of the jivas into Prakriti, then that all takes place. Once that takes place, then we have lokas, and we have bodies for living entities, but the bodies themselves are temporary, so the jivas in the bodies have to take body after body after body. And then there is destruction. So this, well, we get the destruction of the material bodies, that's the lowest level. Then we got bigger levels of destruction. So we have a type of destruction every after every manu. So there's a flood. And there's a partial destruction. At the end of the day of Brahma, there's a more complete destruction where everything up to Svargaloka gets annihilated or put into underwater. And then there's period as day period. Then everything is manifested again. So that's another type of destruction. The daily destruction, and kalpa after kalpa. 365 times in one year of Brahma, times 100 years. And then there's the final destruction of everything when Brahma's 100 years is finished. So there is, everything gets gradually dissolved until the material elements themselves disappear. In the day after day of Brahma, the elements are still there, and even the planets are still there. But at the end of the life of Brahma, then all the planets and all of the bodies and all the universes begin to dissolve, and all of their material elements, like earth, water, fire, air, ether, the senses, everything, they merge into each other, and finally everything merges into ahankara, ahankara into mahatattva, mahatattva into prakriti, and then everything's invisible. So that's how it ends up. So everything disappears completely, and nothing. Of course, prakriti is there, but it's intangible. And then again, when the Lord wills it, due to the manifestation, the impetus of time, the Lord injects the jivas, and again, another cycle starts. And then prakriti becomes visible as mahatattva and ahankara and all the material elements, and they form into universes, and then bodies form for the living entities again. So, meanwhile, the jiva is there. The jiva is in body to body in the material world. He travels until the end of the life of Brahma. And then at that point, he merges into Mahavishnu. All the jivas in the material world with all their karmas disappear in Mahavishnu. And then when Mahavishnu ejects the jivas into Prakriti, again, the karmas of each jiva get attached to them from previous days of Brahma, and they go into the material world according to their karma, and they get a body. And then they continue to act and accrue more karma and expend karma. So Maya operates in a cycle. So we have a complete creation, destruction of everything going on. And then within that we get the partial destructions, the floods after each manu, and then the night flood every night of Brahma. So after every day there's a flood, and then there's a destruction. And then we get the big destruction at the end of the lifetime of Brahma. So this way, everything is created, everything is destroyed. Everything is created, everything is destroyed. And of course, we've got the smaller cycle also, the cycle of yugas, Satva, Treta, Dwarpa, Kali. And then Kali is the most, everything becomes tamasic. The whole Varnashram system is destroyed. Everything is, spiritual life is very weak, etc. And then it gets restored again. So that's a 4 million year cycle within the Manvantara cycle. So we get another type of creation destruction taking place, partial creation destruction. So in this way, the whole material world goes on cycles of creation and destruction, which means temporary. It doesn't last. Spiritual world doesn't have this cycle. It's there forever. If the material world exists, it's there. When the material world does not exist, spiritual world is still there. So it is eternal. No creation, no destruction. And therefore, preferable. The jivas within matter, as I explained the other day, are They want to get some enjoyment. So the Lord gives them some arrangement, but it's not a perfect arrangement. And this is part of the problem. The cycles of creation, destruction keep going on within Prakriti itself. And therefore, nothing is stable. Everything was subject to destruction. And in that situation, the jiva cannot be completely happy. Because each time the destruction takes place, his happiness must end. So when we die, we get unhappiness. And then we have the bigger cycles, the Manvantara cycle, the day of Brahma. Again, everything gets destroyed and the jivas have to suffer for that. They don't like that. And then we have this big cycle of destruction at the end of the life of Brahma. Again, everything disappears. The jivas must lament their situation. So, in this way, everything is subject to destruction, and consequently, there is always fear for the jivas. Everybody must have fear because everything is destructible here. Why? Because every jiva wants happiness, and the happiness should be eternal. And they get something what they call happiness, but it's not eternal. So this is a problem for the jiva. So in this way, the material world is constructed so that ultimately the jiva can understand that the world is not a perfect place. There is a semblance of perfection, but that is only because of illusion, because we are covered by Maya, and we think in our own terms of time and space, etc., then we think I can be happy here for some time. But ultimately, we see, take the larger picture, then we understand it's all hopeless. So we cannot understand this on our own. It is very difficult to even conceive of these cycles of time and the destruction. Of course, even on the shortest level, that is human life, it is also difficult to perceive. So people cannot perceive. They are growing and growing and getting older and older. They don't realize that. And even they die, they don't realize it. So this is why the Yaksha asked this question, what's the most astonishing thing? And Yudhisthira answered, the most astonishing thing is everyone sees that everyone else is dying, but they think, I'm not going to die. It's a logical conclusion that everybody will die. Mother has died, father's died, grandfather's died, grandmother's died, everyone has died. But then we think, I'm happy. And they don't think I will die. This is the illusion of Maya again. Foolishness of living entity in the world. So what to speak of the larger cycle? They cannot conceive of that. That the world at one time is going to cease to exist. So everyone lives very happily. Of course, now in the modern world, there is this idea, okay, somebody drops an atomic bomb or a nuclear weapon, and then we could destroy ourselves. Or climate change to go in such an extreme that we could destroy ourselves. Or in the past, something happened, and the dinosaurs all got destroyed. Or they have these theories about destruction. But it's true. The world is destructible, very destructible. And we see that in the cycles of yugas. We see it in with the flood after each Manu. And we see it at the end of the day of Brahma. And we see it at the end of the life. It's always destructible. The destruction is going on. So it's not an unfounded fear that one day the world will perish somehow. It actually happens. And it happens repeatedly. But it's difficult for us to realize that. So, if we accept the scriptures, then we get some glimpse into the workings of Prakriti. Otherwise, it's very difficult for us to understand how it is operating. So, to some degree, science will tell us yes. And they will also agree, yes, universe is a creator, universe destroyed. That much they'll agree. Nothing is permanent. Yes, and this whole solar system is all temporary. They agree with that. Fine. The big difference is that they do not understand this person who glances over Prakriti and causes it to manifest and everything merges into him at the end. That they don't understand. And they never can understand it. It cannot be perceived with the material eyes. And even your mind cannot conceive. Who could imagine that? What scientist could imagine a big Mahavishnu pulling all the jivas and all the Prakriti into himself and sitting there within him. This is a strange thing. Nobody can imagine such a thing. Huh? Oh, it is only through scripture that we'll understand this, that the Lord is behind everything, that he is the willing power that manifests everything and destroys everything, and that he does have a purpose behind that. It is not a fault on the Lord that he manifests the material world and then the jivas suffer. Huh? There's a whole plan behind everything. But we cannot understand that unless we go to the scriptures and then we get some explanation of how things are happening. Huh? So for that reason, we have Maharaj Nimi asking this question, you please describe Maya and how it operates, because by understanding it, then we get some inspiration to, one, see the temporary nature of the world and understand it's not the best place to be, and therefore we can aspire for attaining the Supreme Lord with eternal happiness. So that's one good reason for understanding about Maya. So all these descriptions here are useful for the jiva to help him advance in devotional service.
Come to understand that there are four levels of destruction going on. One at the form of the material body, loss of material body for the soul. Then at the time of Manvantara, or the end of Manu's day, and the Brahma's day, and the ultimate destruction. So we understand that at the time of leaving the body in the material world, the soul goes to some other place according to its qualification, and it resides. And again, at the end of the Mahapralaya, it goes back into Vishnu. But in between, at the end of the day of Manu and at the end of the day of Brahma, where does the soul reside and what does it do?
Well, the Manu is not a day. It's just like an hour or so in the day of Brahma. So it's a very short. It's just that the water covers, floods the Bhumandala more or less. That's the extent. So there's always jivas there. And even the jivas there, they get on Matsya. And they get saved, the plants and the animals and the jivas get saved there, and of course the upper planets don't get affected at all. So it's not a complete destruction. At the end of the day of Brahma, the water rises up to Svargaloka, and then above that there's a hot fire, so even what Mahaloka, the people have to leave there also, and they go to Mahaloka, Janaloka, they go up to Janaloka and like that. But at the end of the day of Brahma, then Brahma sleeps and everybody else has to go to sleep. It's all... nothing happens, like inanimate darkness for a whole night of Brahma. And then it all starts over again like that. And then Brahma recreates, the water goes down, etc. And Brahma again restores the lower planetary systems all the way to Earth and Svarga, etc. And puts the jivas there again.
The pastimes of the Lord are eternal and keep taking place. And the different characters taking place in each pastime are different. And what happens to the characters which are not connected with a particular leela? Where do they stay?
The what?
We say Dhamadhar leela. Yashodamai is connected with Krishna's leela. And whereas in Rasa leela, the gopis and Krishna is connected with. When the Rasa leela is happening, what happens to Yashodamai and other characters in another leelas? Where do they stay?
Well, if it's in Goloka, then it's nighttime, everybody's sleeping. And only the gopis and Krishna are there. Everyone else, even the cowherd boys are sleeping. Everyone is sleeping. Yeah? And in the daytime, they all wake up, and there's no Rasalila then. And, you know, there's it goes on like a regular day and night there within Goloka. Pralaya? Then everything is sleeping for some time, and then when the jivas start getting restless again, then Mahavishnu again glances over Prakriti, puts the jivas in, and then all the universes are formed, and then again, the first day of Brahma starts like that, and then we have Satya Treta Dwarpa Kali 1,000 times each day of Brahma.
I guess Satya
Yuga manifests? Well, when the day of Brahma starts, then there's the Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga Kali, but that actually exists on Varsha. The other Varshas don't even experience yugas, and the higher planets don't experience yugas either. So something for Bart Varsha.
Maharaj, there are innumerable universes. In each universe having one Brahma, all Brahmas having same lifetime?
Have length of life?
Lifetime.
Well, as we say, it's approximate, because when destruction takes place, it's not exactly simultaneously that everything is destroyed. It's like first some go in, more go in, more go in, until everything goes in. So there's a little bit of a time span there, which was very short from Mahavishnu's point of view, one breath maybe, but from our point of view, as many millions of years probably between the one and the other, you know, so like that. But the universes may be in different sizes. So it said there may be a thousand-headed Brahma or a four-headed Brahma or an eight-headed Brahma according to the size of the universe. So some universes are much more, more huger or bigger than our universe also.
So when Mahavishnu inhales, all the universes simultaneously not goes inside the Mahavishnu, right?
Yeah, everything goes in there. So, well, it's more or less simultaneous, but just like when you breathe in, first some air goes in, more air goes in, more air goes in. So some go in a little bit later than the others, you could say.
Maharaj, when we are chanting in the sense deriding devotees, for instance, oh, you're Hare Krishna, you're nothing. So there he's showing disrespect, but he's showing disrespect in derision. So
slight, yeah. Slight. That's an example of hela, perhaps hela, which has a little bit of disrespect in it.
So that disrespect, now we call that namabhas, but we don't call it namaparad.
Yeah, it would depend on the ill intention involved in it, we could say. So obviously asuras, there are very offensive. They hate the Lord, they hate the devotees, so it's obvious. Others, it's just it's out of ignorance perhaps that they're doing that disrespect or whatever. It's not so much a great dislike. But of course, that hala can turn into aparad also if it's more serious and more enmity towards devotees, then it becomes aparad.
So Shishupal, when he was constantly taking the names of Lord,
yeah,
it's not namabhas.
Aparad.
Aparad.
Yeah.
And also, Maharaj, we find that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave different instructions to grihasthas and to vairagis. To Raghunathdas Goswami, he told that always chant the names of Krishna and serve Radha Krishna in your mind and various other instructions. Whereas to the grihasthas, he said chant Hare Krishna and do Vaishnav Seva. So can we say that because the grihastha dharma is Atithi Seva, and Mahaprabhu for Vaishnavas, he's saying do Vaishnav Seva. Can we say that?
Well, perhaps there's no real. I never seen an explanation that distinguishes it like that, because even the devotees who are renounced may do Vaishnava Seva. It's not they shouldn't do it, but perhaps we can say because they don't have the facility for it. Yeah. They don't have a house. They don't have money. Therefore, they can't. Vaishnava Seva usually means you feed them, and if they're begging for food themselves, how can they serve in that way? But they can serve in other ways, obviously. By helping them, advising them, etc. So that type of service would be there.
Yes, ma'am. And many, I mean, you have spoken about this Pancharatrik standard of Archana. Is there a Bhagavat standard of Archana also?
Well, obviously we could say devotion. Worship the Lord with devotion. We could say that Raganuga could turn into that type of thing where, of course, we're not encouraging people to ignore the rules, but generally if one is strongly on that path, then the rules would have less significance. Yeah. Well, what we do find, like for instance, Jagannath Puri was not done according to Pancharatrik, another set of rules, for instance. Yeah. So it wasn't Pancharatrik. And then again, we have the Sabaras were worshipping him without Pancharatrik rules also. But the Lord appreciated it, so therefore they have some sort of standard like that where everything is not according to rule and regulation also.
Yes, ma'am. We now in the sequence of creation, we find that the indriyas manifest, the senses manifest even before there's a body. The body comes much later on for a jiva.
Yeah.
But the senses
also, all the components of the body manifest.
Yes. So now when we say what is the eye, we usually point to the material eye. So,
yeah, but actually it's a subtle eye.
The subtle eye.
Where they talk about the eye and the sense objects, actually it's not this eye, this is the gola. This is the gross aspect of it. So the real eye goes out of the body when you die and goes with the subtle body. So the senses go with the along with the pranas, go with the subtle body out of the body with the jiva. And then they go into another body.
So then the subtle body is not just mind, intelligence.
It's got all the senses there also, subtle senses and pranas as well.
And also, Maharaj, this expanding universe, as you were saying, the universe coming out of Mahavishnu's body, over there, of course, it agrees with the modern theory that the universe is expanding and collapsing.
Yeah.
But then in the Bhagavatam itself, we usually say that the universe has a fixed size. It has a size, particular size. So how do we reconcile both of them?
Fixed size.
Yeah.
Well, as I said, also there are different sizes of universes.
Yes, yes. But yeah. one universe when you take.
Well, doesn't that itself, once it's formed like a mature fruit, then that mature fruit doesn't change its size after that. So once this particular universe is formed, it doesn't keep expanding. It stays, the shell is like the coconut shell, and it stays there, and then everything is stuck inside, and it doesn't change after that for the lifetime of Brahma.
So now when our scientists are finding that the universe is expanding, we have...
Well, that universe is, we could say, all the universes, we can take that as all, because their concept is only one universe. We say there's many universes, but then take all the universes. That kind of, we say, is maybe an expanding thing in the breath of Mahavishnu, and he expands and everything comes out of him. And then he breathes in, everything goes back into him. So, once it's expanded, we can say that's the full manifestation. And before that, it's getting ready to become full. And then after that, it starts going back into him and it starts contracting again. So that's the destructive aspect.
Yes.
So in that, there's some size, we can say some size change. It goes from small to big to small again, and then it disappears.
Yes, Maharaj. And when you're saying jivas are covered by Maya, now you again said Maya and Prakriti are synonymous. So does it mean the only covering that the jiva has is the gross and the subtle bodies?
Well, in the subtle body, we'll have all aspects. We have Prakriti, yeah. Mahatattva, everything, yeah. There. Yeah. Sense objects, senses, yeah. Everything is there. And even the devatas are sitting here someplace. Yeah.
So that is the covering on the jiva, the subtle body.
Yeah. When we say Maya, we usually think of, you know, just everything, but actually technically it's that, it's the Prakriti, which is the subtle aspect, but then we can also say everything is called Maya also.